What would it mean to you to create a life you love? My mission through Quiet the Hive is to ensure that the women I work with get to the end of days thinking, holy cow, what a ride, rather than if only I'd been brave enough to, or I wish I'd had the strength to. And so that's what we take further here on From Inside the Hive podcast, and I'm so glad you're here. Every other week, you'll hear my own musings, things that I hope will inspire, challenge you, give you things to try out and things to channel. And those alternate weeks, I have an amazing guest who's going to share with you the story of their brave choice or something that can inspire you, along with hints and tips for how you can think about creating a life you love. If you want more of this outside of the podcast, then why not sign up for The Compass, my four-week self-guided online course helping you reconnect with you. Head to quietthehive.thinkific.com. Or perhaps you'd like to take it further and get some one-to-one coaching with me, an award-winning mindset coach. I'd be delighted to spend time helping you create a life you love. Okay, on with the show. Well, hello there. This first guest of series 11 is someone who is right up my street, working with women in a similar way to me, except specifically around helping you land well in your career. Jess is a transformation coach, and we had a great conversation. So without further ado, I'll let you listen. Hello, hello, and welcome to From Inside the Hive with me, Jane Galloway from Quiet the Hive. I am delighted to welcome my podcast guest today, kicking off the first guest of series 11. So January 2024, can you believe it? It's just insane. So we're recording this at the end of 23, but it won't be long till it comes out. I'm delighted to introduce my guest today. I met her at Well and Good, which some of you will know is a favourite working space of mine, co-working space. And Jess and I think, have a lot in common because what she did in her session really rang bells for me. Jess Harvey is a transformation coach and the founder of the Female Mentoring Alliance, and I cannot wait to speak to her and find out more. So Jess, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you very much, Jane. I'm very well indeed. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you today. Thank you.
So nice to have you. Thank you for being here. So for those of you who haven't been lucky enough to meet Jess yet, I think we need to start by asking you, Jess, who are you and what lights you up?
Thank you. So I'm Jess. I'm 45 years old. I always feel like I have to give my age. I don't know why. It's like being a child, isn't it? A transformation coach, and I said the founder of the Female Mentoring Alliance. I've only been doing this since February last year. Wow. If we're in 2024 right now. Until then, I worked in the city. I was a managing director in a bank. I had what I would call a pretty traditional career journey. I did my A-levels, I did a gap year, I went to university, I did a grad scheme, and I kind of went from there, and I just kept on going. Mm-hmm. During that time, I got married to my lovely husband, Scott, and we have a gorgeous boy, Finn, who is 11, and a completely crazy spaniel called Freya. That's our sort of the life that we've had, and everything has been lovely, and in lots of ways, we've been very blessed and had a really good time. But over time, I've got older and life has changed a bit and decided I want to do something a bit different. And for me, that's when I started thinking about what lights me up. So I've always loved helping people and making and working with people. Even if I manage big teams, my team has always been at the centre, and people have always been at the centre of what I do. And I knew there was something more I wanted to do. And I talked about it before, about being like a little angel sitting on my lap, on my shoulder, saying there's something more you can do.
Yeah.
And coaching, well, I've mentored a lot of people, and then coaching came about, and it's what I just love. Connecting with people, talking with people, being with people, it feeds me, and it makes me want to do more and help people. So that's my biggest sort of passion and drive, which is why I'm now doing what I do. Mm-hmm. I love spending time with my friends. My favorite thing is to spend time with the family and just being around people and talking, which is just a nice thing, and actually connecting with people, because we're humans beings, not human doing. what I always say.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to have an excuse to chat with you today then. As people, as regular
Yes.
listeners know, I just use this podcast as an excuse to hang out with people I like and have a chat with them. So it's great that you're
That's
up
pretty
for it
good.
too, Jess. Yeah,
Yes.
absolutely.
Perfect.
So you are, there's so much to ask you actually. Let's start with, so some people will be listening thinking, what is a transformation coach? Tell me a little bit about what that means to you.
So for me, I mean, transformation can mean things to different people. And I really struggled at first to try and work out what type of coach I was, because I don't know if you found the same. People are like, so you're this coach. And you're like, no, that's not what I do. They're like, you're that coach. And no, that's not me either. And I'm like, what do I do? And a transformation coach is someone that helps you transform in part of your life.
Yeah.
So it could be in your finances, making you go from someone who may be scared of money, but then is able to embrace it and understand how they manage it. I'm not saying that makes you poor to rich, but it's about how you think about it. For me, I focus on women and help them find clarity on their careers and transform from a place of uncertainty, where they don't necessarily enjoy what they're doing, where they may find that they want to do more. And it could be either working for someone or for themselves, and help transform them to a place of contentment and fulfillment, and looking at their environment and how they can set up an environment that actually works for them. A lot of it's drawn from what my own personal experience. You know, I worked in a bank. I was at my desk by 7 every morning, and I always said that for whatever job I was doing, the most important things in my life were my husband and my son. And whatever I did, I was going to make sure I really enjoyed it and I loved it, and it made me sing. So because of that, I think it's really important to help women find that as well, because we are juggling so many different things for all different situations. And to be able to understand what truly makes us tick and what actually an individual person wants for their own personal journey, I think is really important. So through the transformation process, we look at, I work with them to look at what they love, what they don't like, because that's really important as well, to be able to articulate that. And also understand, well, is it a deal breaker or not? Because we all have to do things we don't like in life. You know, we all have to do certain things, but if it's something really big, that's one thing. If it's not, we can work through it. And then we look at actually setting some really practical goals to actually do that transformation, and actually what needs to be done, who can support you. So it's always a great piece of work looking at who's what I call your board of advisors and the stakeholders that can help you, things like that. And then the last bit, because as I often say to my clients, I'm sure they say, I'd love to have work with them forever and ever because I love them, but that wouldn't make me a very good coach. So we work on the environment and how we make it lasting for them, and how they can create and have what I almost think of as like a tool belt of skills to be able to take it onto the next level.
Amazing.
So they keeps them going.
So if you think about careers and transformation, quite often people think or assume that means ditching what they're in and moving on to something different because it's no longer serving them. But I'm wondering whether for you transformation has to be a massive thing or whether it can be a small thing as well.
That's completely right. For me, it can be a small thing as well as a big thing. And it's also, I think, a very much a holistic thing. I think for some people, they think of it as almost transactional. You know, you leave one thing and you do something else. Actually, no, it can be about staying and doing what you're doing, but transforming it in the way you're doing it and how you're doing it and how you feel about it. So it could be, for example, I worked with one client looking at actually how she works during her week. And is it actually the traditional 9 to 5? Yes or no, what worked? And she ended up doing, I actually do, which is not work on a Wednesday, because it gave her that gap in the week. And what we did was we worked through how she did that. So that was how does she manage her stakeholders and who did she need to talk to? But we also then looked at actually her working patterns, and was it effective for her to be in the office on certain days versus working at home? And actually the biggest one is, a lot of people always think that it's nice to work from home on a Friday, but actually working in the office on a Friday gives you the old-fashioned Friday feeling that we all used to have, and it gives you that lovely break off during the week. And I'm finding it a lot, and I'm sure you are actually probably finding the same, that people don't have boundaries anymore since lockdown. And it's, how do you help create that framework for them to have those boundaries? Because if you don't, you're going to end up, people are just going to not be able to fulfill what they need to do.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about, because you went through, as you described at the beginning, quite a significant career change. You know, you were going through the corporate trajectory and now you're working for yourself. Was that around boundaries for you, or was there more at play?
There was also, it was really interesting. There was boundaries there was Orbit. So essentially, I had got to a position that I had. So I was made managing director by 40, which was quite young. I'd ticked all those boxes, and I was very much driven in that way. You know, I was head girl at school. I did all the right things. You know, I tick, 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 tick. Yeah. I was a true late 70s child. I followed it to the letter. And I was very uncomfortable, looking back with hindsight now, I was very uncomfortable through a lot of it and felt not really myself. And I worked for a US investment bank during the financial crisis of 2007. I was the second person in the UK to know about Bear Stearns acquisition because I ran all the insider list for it and ran the deal on that and helped the bank basically not go into crisis whilst they're doing the acquisition. So I was doing some really big stuff at quite a young age and living quite a hard life. Like, a lot of nights was on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning with a glass of wine in one hand and a cigarette trying to get through a deal. You know, it was a pretty hard life to actually do it. But I always felt it wasn't 100% me, and I was really having to push myself. And then you have children and life carries on, and you're like, okay, I've got all these responsibilities. And then it got to, so just before lockdown, I was made the European head of compliance. Bank I was working at, it was an interim role. My boss had retired, and then there's some really difficult things that happened, some not great behaviors that I really agreed with. It was really sad, actually. And we then brought in a new bid boss, and that was fine. That was always what was meant to happen. I had to be put at risk to them do my new role, and I'm a bit like, just really, you know, in this situation where we have a home, I'm the primary income, so you're kind of on this hamster wheel, and you're going and you're going and you're going. And then we were in lockdown, and I worked through all of that. My husband did homeschooling. He had a landscape garden business, which unfortunately folded. And then he had a breakdown, which was pretty horrific. We were living in a two-bedroom railway cottage, three of us and a puppy. I still don't know why we bought the dog. That was, I mean, I love her, but it's what you do, isn't it? Life's fine, yes! And I'd also wasn't enjoying my role. People, the behaviors, everything. And it was very much I was beginning to feel, am I going mad, or is it something about me? And I spoke to the deputy chief operating officer for the bank and was like, I sort of likened being made an MD to getting engaged. It's something you think about all the time, and it happens, you're like, oh, is this it? Right, okay. Done. Okay, here we go. And she's like, no, well, why don't you try? And so I moved to totally different roles. So I moved into a different areas bank as an MD, which is pretty unusual, and set up a brand new team, which was great, and I enjoyed it. But again, I already had the start of the Tinkerbell on my shoulder of the idea of what I wanted to do, and I'd come up with the concept of the female mentoring lines, and I was trying to work out how I could do that.
Yeah.
And then I started doing some coaching stuff at work, or some mentoring stuff, and again the people got worse and worse with the politics and the situations. My husband hadn't been well, and I was more aware of the fact I wanted to be at home more. Finn was growing up. And then unfortunately, Scott's father died, which was another stress. And then Scott ended up in hospital, and he nearly died from an illness. So it suddenly brought Easter 2022 was a bit of a smack in the face. And we were like, this has just got to stop. This is not how life goes. We need to do it. And we always wanted, at this point, we were living up in Twickenham.
Yeah.
And we always wanted to move back to Cranley. Finn was going to go to Cranley School. We wanted him to go to Cranley School. And we both grew up around here. We wanted to be back in the countryside, and that's what made us sing. So we're like, right, let's do it. Spent the house in the market, and within the first day, we had 24 viewings. We sold it that day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quick. It was a bit crazy. And then we found a house to rent in East just so we could then find something down here.
Yeah.
And work was getting progressively worse, and I was dreading it more and more. And I was starting to show levels of anxiety I hadn't had probably since postnatal depression. So I was going through and like doing all the washing and like putting it on color coding, but like color coding it to a point that just wasn't right. And I was like, this isn't good. So I started to do redundancies at work, and I said, how about you make me redundant? Like, what? But we can't, you know, I was top talent, but I was like, this is a structure, you don't need me, and this is what's going to save you. To which they went, we're not sure if we can because we haven't got enough female MDs. I'm like, no, you're not getting me on the gender thing the other way around. Nope, no, 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 no.
That's not what it's about.
And then they went, okay. And I was like, oh. And suddenly it all became a bit real. And I went through a grieving process because although I had made the decision, there's still always part of you that wants them to go, no, stay, we love you.
course, yeah.
But actually, they were all like, we love you, we're doing this to help you. And it was only at the very end when I was like, nobody said they wanted me to stay. They're like, because you really want to go. We thought there's no point. I was like, no, I didn't want to stay. I just want you to tell me you want me to stay, and then I'll be okay. Then we can just move on.
Yeah, that validation feels really important sometimes.
I know, and it was just crazy. So I did that. And then I went through the 7 stages of grief. What was amazing was I actually had an amazing coach through it. But as part of the program, as managing director, you've got a coach who coached you through it, and she really helped. And we moved house to this house. The builders were supposed to have been in before, but actually they started the week that we moved in. They're still here. And I've been doing it, and it's been really difficult. It's been really challenging in that I was totally corporatified, or whatever the word is.
Yeah. Unlearning those behaviors can be really hard, can't it?
Really hard. And also, this sounds incredibly crazy, I haven't had to do anything for myself for a very long time. If I wanted a spreadsheet being done, I had a really bright, eager grad that wanted to do it. If I wanted to sort a tech problem out, because of my level, a guy would appear. Like, if they needed to, they'd come to my house and do stuff. Whereas now it's me. And at first, I got really angry with myself that I couldn't do things. Then I was like, actually, Jess, you're starting again. You've got to learn to do these things. And now I'm just super proud of myself. Like, when I connect something together, I'm like, yes, I can do this, high five. And it's that sort of change. I mean, I still hate an Excel spreadsheet, but I don't know anyone that actually likes an Excel spreadsheet, so I think we're okay. But it's been a huge change. And that whole thinking about what was authentic for me, or what I thought was authentic, and what it is now, is two very different things. And the biggest frustration for me now is that, because we've been sorting out the house, when I actually get to do my work, it's so easy. It's so, it just flows. It feels amazing.
Because it feels better to do, so it feels effortless. Yeah.
It's completely effortless. And now I just feel like I don't have enough time to do what I want to do, which is a great problem to have. So, I mean, it's been interesting. I nearly took another job at a bank. I got down to the last two in the interviews and didn't end up getting it. I'm really, really glad. Because I basically dug my heels and I said I would only do a certain number of days a week, and I knew they wouldn't take that.
So why, what made you go for that? Was it a panic about going out on your own? You needed that security? Yeah.
Complete and utter panic. But it was really weird. The week that they were doing the decisions was the week that I did the workshop where we met. I did another workshop. I just sold out my first program. And I'd also been asked by another company to do some corporate work. So I was like, oh, it's all a bit weird timing. And then it didn't happen. I was like, yes. And I'm now used to being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Whereas, and I've never been uncomfortable for over 20 years.
Different.
In terms of, yeah.
So but tell us about how that led to the Female Mentoring Alliance.
So the Female Mentoring Alliance very much came about because I couldn't find a female mentor that I really looked up to. And also because mentoring for me isn't just about the area that you work in. So an example is I was on a course which they did with London School of Economics, which was amazing, where they wanted us to be entrepreneurs. And they were like, you know, we want you to be entrepreneurial. We want to think in a different way. We want you to really break down the way, you know, we're not a traditional bank. We need to go out there and get these clients. At the time, I was part of the clients, but I was like, we kind of need to be a traditional bank to be safe. But anyway, but then they said, we be entrepreneurial thinking. And then they gave me the head of risk to be my mentor. And I was like, well, to be entrepreneurial, you need to give me an entrepreneur so I can learn and understand. And I'd come up with the idea of, wouldn't it be amazing to bring women together from different backgrounds to mentor one another? So for example, someone from the television industry mentoring someone in finance about creativity and thinking outside of the box, and vice versa, the person in finance thinking about a structured approach to things. And wouldn't it be really cool to bring women together in that way? Because we see it all the time, you and I, in our roles, where we're working with, you know, we work on our own, but we come together with women from different backgrounds. Actually, how much of a common ground there really is when you actually take the initial, oh, this is what you do, this is what I do. Whereas I think often a lot of women don't see that because they're doing their job. They're told that they need to get a female mentor who is senior to them, that will help them get on the next stage of their ladder. When actually, in reality, yes, that person may help them for one bit, but actually the other skills should be coming from different places.
Mm.
So the concept is that we'll bring women together, they will mentor one another. They may not mentor each other, but one may, they'll have a mentor and be a mentor.
Yeah.
And they will choose a cohort to be part of. Mm-hmm. And they could choose, for example, stepping up in management, or they could choose the, I've taken a career break and I want to come back. Or they could choose the, I'm hitting 45 and like Jess, I think there's more to life group. You know, mm-hmm. So what do I do? Something. And with that, there'll be groups that can attend talks, but then also there'll be this kind of, I likened it to like a dating agency of we will match women together. So the work on that starts next year, which is
amazing.
This year, if you're listening now, which is highly exciting. And it's just that incredible feeling that when women help each other, really cool things happen. And it's just, I want to make that happen.
Yeah. And why does that matter so much to you in terms of women having female mentors through their career or through their life?
Because I think there are certain skills that over time I've not necessarily had that support on, and then when I provide that support to other women, they're like, oh my goodness, this is brilliant, this is what I needed. And the more I've spoken to people, if you look at things like how businesses these days and what the expectations are within organizations and just in the corporate world, whether it be entrepreneurs or in a larger environment, the skills that women have are phenomenal. Our ability to take a holistic view, our ability for flexibility, our ability to read rooms, things that we are naturally blessed with, aren't always supported and encouraged. And I don't know if it's partly because of my being in banking, but being a strong woman doesn't mean you have to be shouty and aggressive, but being a woman who is feminine and supported by other women who think in the same way, I think is a really beautiful thing to be part of, and a really nurturing and growth type of mindset that I think just helps people. And I think sadly there isn't enough of it, and we still see so many times the labels of women being aggressive or emotional, and it's got to stop.
It's unhelpful, isn't it? It's really unhelpful.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, that approach. So my flagship program, which is Awakening Women's Lives, the reason that started was because I coached a different woman every day for a week, coached or mentored, and each of them sat in front of me and apologized for taking up space, felt like they didn't deserve to be in their role, felt like they were failing as a parent, as an employee, as a manager, that they were winging it. And I sat in front of each and every single one of them thinking, oh my God, you're amazing. And they just could not see that. And so the program was almost born before Quiet Hive, because I had this idea, and it sounds really similar to where you come from as well, in terms of, as women, we are incredible at cheerleading and challenging and supporting each other. You know, of course, Jess, why wouldn't you do that? Of course you can go for it. There's nothing stopping you. Let's talk about this. Let's figure it out. And yet we're really rubbish at doing it for ourselves. So having a group of women together is incredibly affirmative and life-changing and supporting, but they also give you a boot up the bum and say, come on now, you're talking yourself out of something and you need to go for it. And it's so incredible to see the power of tribe or covens or circles or whatever you want to call them, but that group of women coming together, I think, can really achieve incredible things together.
I agree. And you see some incredible moments of not only the lovely moment when a woman's lifted because of that support, but when they actually realize it for themselves.
Yes.
Because there's that piece. And I had it a couple of weeks ago when I was doing my group coaching piece on the Transform Her program, where one of them was like, it's just been a really rubbish month. And everyone was like, ooh. And because everything's done on Zoom, everyone's got equal space, which is actually a really lovely way to do it. And they were like, well, actually, no, if you thought you'd done this, this, and this. And then suddenly she went, oh my goodness. And this has happened. And it's like she had the light bulb moment. It's like, yes, this is what happens. And they don't know each other from Adam. They've come together. A couple of them I've known over time. They all assume that each of them knows me because it's my first one that I did. But I'm like, no, none of you really know me. In fact, the one that knows me the most, and she used to be Freya's dog sitter. But the support in both the groups I've got of that whole, we're here, we're supporting you, but we will challenge you. But it comes from a place of kindness. And that's the bit I found very difficult for a long time, was I was so used to be challenged from a place that wasn't of kindness. And sadly, it was from other women, of a place of, I'm going to get one over you. Because unfortunately, a trait that can sometimes happen with some women is the way they just put themselves up is by putting other people down.
Yes.
Which it's too much. It's not the right way. But when you see it in a way that comes from a genuinely open, this is what I want, because I want you to do really well, it's just an incredible feeling. And I think it makes people, I don't know, emotion's the wrong word. I think it fills people and makes them feel that they're actually part of something, which I think is really important. And if you look at that's a hierarchy of needs, part of it is belonging. And that's a really important thing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's really interesting that role modeling. And I guess this is why having mentors and role models is really important, because actually the reason I think that a lot of women lead in the way that they do, or traditionally led in the way that they led, is because the role models that they had were men, and perhaps in quite male-led leadership roles, there is that thing about getting ahead in a way that plays on more typically male traits as opposed to female traits. So when you see a leader who is kind and compassionate and gentle and accepting and nurturing and all of that, whether it's male or female, actually, it gives you permission to lead in that way as well. And when you see the impact that can have for others, it's really powerful and potent. And you then take that back into your workplace with you and lead in a way that gives others permission to also display those traits.
And that it creates a safe environment, which is a super important thing, because when you're looking at your organizations, and you're so right, you know, if you have a leader that is open and honest and compassionate, and that goes down, what you then will find is that the problems will appear because people are feeling safe that they want them to appear and they want to solve them. And if you can ride that out, you can then create an incredible environment of positive support that then creates an environment where issues are dealt with, and dealt with in the right way, and that it's not the end of the world, we're just going to deal with the situation. And it's not about personal gain, it's about the gain for the organization, the group, whoever it may be. And it becomes so better. And I think, again, and I don't know if you found it, but since COVID, I think people take work a lot more personally because it's far more part of their personal lives. Because there is less of that cutoff. And you can tend to get people so invested, or can be so invested, that you end up not almost taking things too far, if that makes sense.
Yeah. There's a lot that's changed with the wonderful growth of technology and the ability to access people from all over the world. And you talked about how your program is online, mine is online, and if I ran it in person, there are lots of people who wouldn't have been able to be part of that and benefit from it. So it has real plus sides. But the downside is that we've permanently got this tech in our pocket that calls to us all the time and doesn't differentiate between, okay, it's outside of 9 to 5, so I'm not going to alert you to this thing. I mean, you can set those up, but we're not very good at doing that, I think. And we sometimes are our own worst enemy. But because of the demands and because of the prioritization of busyness and the promotion and acceptance of presenteeism and busyness as being a good thing, we feel bad if we switch off. And that makes it really hard, I think.
And I think it plays into this sort of guilt piece as well. People are like, well, I'm not. In this whole habit or culture, and the whole, you can be, you know, Instagram, I 100% buy into because I need to for my business. And, you know, and it's a great and incredible tool. And I find it an incredibly supportive environment. But if you get into it, like, there's some really perfect lives out there, but if you're not careful, you think you can fall down that slope. And not having those boundaries, I think, can be very difficult. And, you know, you talked before about, for me, about boundaries. And you know, I worked 24/7. When Finn was born, after I went back from maternity, I took 14 months off maternity leave. I went back, I didn't see him for 3.5 weeks. I was working transactions for the US. Like, literally, I did not see him. And it was kind of what was expected because I'd had 14 months off. No, not, I hadn't had 14 months off.
Just parenting now. It's okay. They're grown up now. They're all sweeping chimneys.
It's fine. And, you know, it wasn't, it wasn't I had 14 months to be with my child, I had 14 months off.
Yeah.
And it's like, not really. It was the hardest 40 months. That was, I mean, I had postnatal depression. It was a chunky time. And he was the first person that I'd ever met in my life that didn't follow my to-do list. And I did not know what to do. I was so robotic. I'm like, this is how we do it. This is what we get done. Boom, 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 boom. And this thing, you know, mewling, puking, as Shakespeare would say, like that, this thing in front of me that didn't sleep when he was supposed to. I was like, I couldn't get it in my head. But it's the best thing for me that happened. But
excellent. That's quite lovely. Yeah, they definitely shake up your world, but there are definitely good things in that. So who have been mentors and role models for you, do you think, whether you've known them personally or not? Who are the people that you admire and look to when you think about your business and your life?
So I think it's a really interesting one. So, and it's definitely changing over time.
Mm-hmm.
I think really in terms of speaking and business-wise, at the moment I'm in a real sort of flux and meeting people. So lovely girl Kerry, who I'm working with on some marketing stuff, people who are just doing it and getting out there and doing, I find such inspiration. You know, you can say people at Hollytuck are incredible, but for me to relate to them at the moment is a very, like, a gajillion miles away.
Yeah, chasm.
And I also know that, because I know of her through where I used to live and stuff, that there's a machine that goes with it. It's not necessarily,
yes,
where I am. But for me, I think at the moment I would say I look to local businesses and similar women who are inspiring me at the moment. I don't have a mentor at the moment, and I'm really struggling, and I actually need to get a mentor. It's weird. It's the first time I've not had one for a while. There's a couple of women who are, one of whom's a former coach who does mentor me in terms of we go through things, and she's been down that road and she's known me for a long time. But it's interesting, it's very much personal people that I know that I'm close to at the moment, as opposed to big famous names or people that have gone out there and done things. And I think I'm reading a lot at the moment. So, I mean, if you look behind there's all sorts. And, you know, I love, oh my goodness, her name's just gone from my head. I had it and it's just gone to the Kindness Economy. And Save the Children charity shops. It will come back to me.
Mary
it's
Porter.
Okay. It's
no, not Mary
Thank
Porter.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Mary Porter. Because what I loved about her, and I still do, is that she changed what she's doing. She's done such a... When you read her story and you read what she's talking about, how she wants to take what her skills were and actually use them with a different thing, I think to me it's just fantastic. And that's what I'm trying to do in a lot of ways, is take the skills I had as a director of a bank and working problem solving and move them to help other people and to do that kind of shift. So that's been probably my biggest sort of view of looking at the fame as well. But it's interesting, when I'm quite a lot of my time in banking, I had men when my mentors, not women. But they again were the gentle, thoughtful, not the biggest voice at the table, but often the most powerful person at the table type of people that were mentors. One of them actually I still talk to. Got me to talk with his son who's at university. Wow, that's a whole other generation, isn't it? But you know, so those are the sorts of people. And it's very personal. But it's funny, I was thinking about it at 3 o'clock in the morning this morning, that I don't have a natural mentor at the moment, and something I miss that chat where you just talk and then things come, which is beautiful.
It's the bouncing around of ideas and the ability to think outside your head, I think, makes it really helpful, doesn't it? I think that's, for me, that's the power of coaching as well, that sort of ability to have the time and space and someone just to ask you a question that might unlock something you hadn't thought of before, or thinking about it in a different way. And it's such when it's done well, it's such a gentle process, but it is so blooming powerful. It really can unlock and shift things for you, I think.
Especially in between the sessions.
Yes.
And this is one of the things that I keep on saying to my clients. So my group program, with my one-to-ones, I often give them things to read, podcasts to listen to. They don't have to, it's completely up to them. Mm-hmm. But it's little seeds that you put in your head that suddenly little bits appear. And that to me is just magic. And it's that sudden that, oh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's an incredible thing. And that to me, I think, is one of the biggest gifts, and the gentle challenge as well that starts to unlock things. I'm a very visual person. I always think of the brain as being like cogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like kind of how it all goes through. And I think that's what it brings as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's real power in it, I think.
That was amazing.
Jess, as always, the time is slipping away, because it does on this podcast. It's crazy. But I do want to ask you the question that I ask everyone, which is, what advice would you give your 21-year-old self?
Two pieces of advice.
Okay.
The first is, you're enough.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be something to everyone else. You are enough. You as a person are a beautiful thing, no matter what you've done. You are a human being and you are enough. I think it's really important. And it's something that one of the things I want to do as part of the Female Mentoring Alliance is have a group for girls who have just left university to have that confidence.
Oh, amazing. Such a good age to learn those lessons, I think.
Yeah, because it does. And the other one is, you know, you don't have to follow a traditional path, or what the path is expected, probably a better way to put it. You know, there is a million ways that you can dance. You don't have to do it as you're told to.
That's brilliant. So to find your own rhythm, your own way of being, that's the place to be. That's the way to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, amazing. Jess, if people want to find out more about you or about the Female Mentoring Alliance, where would they do that? How do they find out more?
So the best way is to follow me on Instagram at the Female Mentoring Alliance, or I'm on LinkedIn as Jess Harvey. My website will hopefully be live.
Woohoo!
Like this, as you're listening now.
That's exciting.
So www.thefemalementoringalliance.com. Very long. And through that, you can find that I do one-to-one coaching and group coaching under a program called Transform Her, where I take clients through the process of from confusion to clarity and through six steps of coaching, which people are loving. So hopefully we'll be doing lots more of.
Brilliant. Amazing. So I'll make sure I put all of those links in the show notes so that people can find you easily and effortlessly in the way that you help them to transform. Tell us more about the program. When is your next cohort?
So my next cohort is coming out end of January. I will have 18 faces in total. It is six sessions over 6 months. So we will go through that process. So groups of six, three cohorts in total. So 18 women going through. There's a monthly session where we will go through the themes and exercises. I'm very much, when I do my coaching, I like people to do things in the sessions. They feel like they've come away with a win. Everyone's time is precious, and I love that feeling of people like, yes, I got something from it.
With you.
And then we'll do sometimes do a coffee catch up during the month as well, 45 minutes drop in. There's also a WhatsApp channel for people to chat and to get to know each other. So we get that true spirit of group coaching. So that starts last week of January.
Amazing. So if you want to find out more, head over to Jess's brand new sparkly shiny website.
Yes,
or on her on Instagram. Jess, it has been so lovely to hang out with you. Thank you so much for your
thank
time
you. Today.
I really appreciate it.
It's been fantastic. I really appreciate it as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. So what about that advice, hey? You are enough. Some of us just need to keep hearing that. Being told it once would not be enough at age 21, but my goodness, wouldn't it have been a start? So my friend, on that note, you are enough. And until next time, take such good care.
If you enjoyed this podcast from Inside the Hive by Quiet the Hive, then please leave us a 5-star rating or drop us any comments in the box below. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Any comments or ratings you give us all help other people who would benefit from the content to find us. Thanks so much.